not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, thus saith the Lord. And I, Martin Zender, repeat these words to you. Is there an echo in here? Anyway, it's better than my car. Hello, Martin Zender at the Revelation Series. Where's the car? Where's the laundry room? Well, I'm back to a semblance of civilization. No, this is ultra civilization. I am, by the grace of God and the hospitality of Waylon and Regina Dabbs at their home up in Coral Springs, not a far drive from where I live. So I thank them for that. And folks, I also thank you for your love and your care of me. And I know that I was a little complainy on Friday from my car that somebody had begun my day with, "Martin, you look terrible." But in fact, maybe I did look a little disheveled, and maybe I have been disheveled, because I have been doing the best I can here, though. And I think it's a tribute to the grace of God operating here, that in spite of all the distractions, and I've had to move twice since I've moved to Florida. I had to leave that room. My stuff's in a garage. Didn't have a place for the microphone. You know the whole story. But it's really, you know, we might look back on those days and say, do you remember those good old days in the car with the Ready Whip whipped cream? You remember those days? Oh, those were good days. Now we're in the lap of luxury here. We're at a solid table, but I can't tell you what this does for the concentration. To have a solid table and not have to worry about balancing a laptop on your lap, to have a microphone that you know is recording your every wonderful word, and to have a camera that you know is broadcasting in, well, almost high definition. It does help the concentration. But, I got to be careful here. And you have to be careful. I had this thought yesterday. I had it Friday as I emerged from my car. I don't think that it's ever trial or tribulation or sickness or death or discouragement that takes people from the evangel and from a God consciousness. I believe that it is actually plenty and contentment and peace and a feeling of stability. These things actually lead people from the evangel, or have the potential to. They don't always do that, but it's the potential. You remember Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Demas, who loved this current eon, forsook me. Why did Demas love the current eon? Because the current eon was good to him. And if the eon is good to you, it's much easier to be less leaning on the power of God. And it is not by might that these things go forward from here or from anywhere. And it's not by power, not by human power. It's by the Spirit of God. And I thank God through Jesus Christ for that. And again, you have been very kind to be careful about my well-being. And I feel that love. And so I want you to know that I am well. I am healthy. I am running every day. Some people think I look a little gaunt, but that's just health. I think some people would prefer I be fat, a little chubby. Oh, he's so cute. He's chubby, therefore he's healthy. No, I'm getting some exercise in, not excessively, but my health is pretty good. Thank you for asking. Now, not by might, more by power. I am going to talk about the 144,000 sealing, how they were sealed. We learned back in chapter 7, when we were first acquainted with the 144,000, that they were sealed on their forehead, but we didn't know what was written there. We did not know what was written there. There is something written there. We find that out in chapter 14. What we did learn was that they are sealed in opposition to the worshipers of the beast, who have their sealing as well. They are sealed with either the number or the mark or the name of the beast. What a chilling contrast that is. And what could be a greater contrast? And again, going back to Friday, what could be a greater contrast than these 144,000 with the lampkin on Mount Zion, the southeastern spur of the hill. I trust you appreciated the import of that. The importance of the fact that God does little things. He does great things through little things. He takes Paul. I've heard two different meanings of the name of Paul. One is pause. I like that name. Pause for Paul. The original Greek meaning of the name Paul, because Paul is a pause in God's administration with Israel. God's on hold with Israel through Paul. We're in that administration. I've also heard that Paul means little, paw. It's funny, I have a son named Paul, and I used to call him Paw-Paw, a cute little pet name, Paw-Paw. And he was my little one. And so Paul can also be, different sources say it means little. I like that too. Either one works for me. I like little because God is using the insignificant things today to confound the wise. Now, I mentioned a verse to you, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. That is from Zechariah chapter 4, speaking of the vision of the lampstand and the olive trees. I want to give this to you in context because it's so good. And again, while you would think that 144,000 are a great multitude, there will be no religion has yet come. No religion has yet been known upon this earth with so many adherents than the one world religion that is coming upon this planet. It's going to be an amalgamation. Think of this. Remember the seven heads of Christianity. How many? There's the Greek Orthodox. Oh, somebody sent me a picture of the leader of the Greek Orthodox Church and the Pope, and apparently these two are forming some sort of alliance. They're getting chummy. They're getting friendly. The Pope, head of Roman Catholicism, and this creepy-looking dude with a long white beard, looks like Santa Claus. It looks like Santa Claus who had stuck his finger in an electrical socket. These two freaks of nature, the Pope and the leader of the Eastern Orthodox Church, they are forming a pact. And so, all right, take the seven heads. Take Christianity. Imagine all the different adherents, the seven heads of Christianity put together. That's a lot of people. Now I want you to combine it with those who are followers of Islam, followers of Buddha, the Hindu religion. Can you imagine? Think how many people. So there will be thousands and thousands of these people for every one member of the 144,000. Folks, no matter how you slice it, you're going to come up in the minority to find God's people. I mean, I'm stunned myself, stunned that there could be 144,000. Where are they coming from? As you know, I'm stunned to think that in this day of apostasy, the worst day we've lived in the history of the Aeonian times, that there could be possibly 5,000 in the body of Christ. To me, that's a crazy number. So how could there be this many in the circumcision? This reason. Because God is now actively involved in bringing forward. He's bringing them forward. He's not hiding them. I'm not saying God isn't actively involved with us, but your life is hid together with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. So God is actively hiding it, actively, actively hiding you, actively making you small, actively making you weak. After we're out of the way, that system's going to change dramatically, and God will then actively bring Israel out of the shadows. And he will call from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, and bring his people to Zion. And there will be members of that esteemed race who you would not believe would be members of that esteemed race. Now, on to Zechariah chapter 4. Now, the angel who talked to me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, quote, "I'm looking and there's a lampstand of solid gold and a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl, the other at its left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked to me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Speaking to the angel. Angels can be lords. It's a small L here. It just means a sanctioner, one who sanctions stuff. Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." He answered me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." Now hang on. Zerubbabel, remember, was the guy who was rebuilding the temple after the Babylonian captivity. And here in the unveiling, we're going to have another rebuilding of the temple. That's going to be a false temple. Then there will be the millennial temple. But all these things, this is a radical statement. The false as well as the true are of God. But here's my main point, is that this stuff, even the bad stuff, does not happen by human might or power. It's a facade of human might. You could look at the great confederation of the end times and say, what an accomplishment of human might. Think about it, folks. Nobody can get together today. Nobody can really cohere and make something happen ever since God scrambled the languages and the governments at Babel. In fact, in Revelation 17:17, there's an amazing verse that says God causes 10 kings to form his opinion. There are going to be 10 kings under the seven heads of the confederation of religion, and every one of them are going to form God's opinion. And that opinion is to give power to the wild beast. So it's a bad thing. They're doing a bad thing. They're giving their authority over to the wild beast. Don't do it. And yet they're doing it because God causes them to do it. Likewise, God causes the good things and the bad things. It's an interplay of good and evil to accomplish his purpose. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Verse 6, Zechariah 4. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. I got to read a couple more verses here. This is good. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? That's the key verse. Who has despised the day of small things? Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a day of small things. We're in a day of insignificance. We're in a day where the world will look at us and see nothing. But do not despise the day of small things. One man, Zerubbabel, brought forth the new temple with Zechariah. One man with Zechariah. All right, there was a Batman and Robin thing going on there. Okay, Batman and Robin. One man, the Apostle Paul, brought us our evangel. One man. It does not take a unilateral, multi-membered force to do what we are doing. Because we will not despise the day of small beginnings, of small things. And we won't despise those things which are hidden. We won't despise our apostle in jail. We won't despise our own afflictions. These are not to be despised, but celebrated. And if you can look at the despised Christ on earth and see the Messiah, then it's not by might nor by power. And Jesus Christ said to Peter, flesh and blood, i.e. might and power. I'm relating flesh and blood to might and power. I'm drawing an analogy. Flesh and blood has not revealed that fact to you that I'm the Messiah. You've heard me say this before. Flesh and blood could not convey the power behind that lowly former carpenter from Nazareth. And it's the same with these 144,000 standing on the little tiny hill on the mount where the palace of the king will be. And do not despise, again, your call, your place, your afflictions. Because from small beginnings come great things.